Tonight, Mr. Robert Mitchum stars in Young Man of Manhattan from Studio One at CBS.
There are two things I've been needing, a pat on the back and a kick in the pants, and I got both of them at once. Now I'm all set. I can get busy.
With a moment from Young Man of Manhattan by Catherine Brush, we invite you to Studio One. A full hour of dramatic entertainment from radio's most celebrated playhouse. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Tonight, a happily remembered bestseller of yesterday. A vivid Catherine Brush novel about the tumbling and tempestuous 20s, arranged for radio by Van Woodward. And to bring our whirling young man of Manhattan to life for you in the next hour, we have with us a remarkable young man of Hollywood, Mr. Robert Mitchum. Currently providing moviegoers with much excitement in the motion picture Crossfire, and soon to offer another exciting performance in the new RKO thriller Out of the Past, Mr. Mitchum is a welcome and warmly appreciated visiting star in Studio One. Tonight he plays a sports writer named Toby McLean. And as the women in Toby's life, you'll be hearing Mercedes McCambridge and Anne Burr of our regular company. Now let's turn back 20 years to the time when, for the young, life was sport and sports were life. The dazzling days of flappers and raccoon coats and speakeasies. And let's meet our young man of Manhattan. You've seen him perhaps where the bands are playing and the pennants flying and the people cheering. At a football game while you leap up to howl and wave your arms, he sits in the press box high above you, saying quietly out of the side of his mouth to his telegrapher,
"Adams made 5 yards off tackle. First down, Yale's ball."
When the game is finally ended and you go your way, he removes the cover from his portable typewriter, twists paper in, and writes,
"New Haven, Connecticut, November 25th.
And then he really goes to work. When you go home from the fights or the hockey game or the boat race, you leave him behind in the dawn of his business day. He is a sports writer. His name is Legion, but his name, in our story of yesterday, is Toby McLean of the New York Star. And that story begins in Philadelphia on one of the most famous rainy nights in sport history. The night in 1926 when Tunney first beat Dempsey, and after the fight...
Taxi!
Taxi! Fat chance of anybody getting a taxi.
Toby! Hey, McLean, that you?
In a diluted form, yeah. Hiya, Shorty.
File your story already?
I dictated the blow-by-blow. Hastings is doing the lead.
What a fight. What a night. Hey, what do you think you get a ride back to town in one of these cars?
Not a chance. They're all bulging now. We better start walking. Well, what'd you think of the fight?
Well, I tell you, if Dempsey had only... Wait a minute. There's a girl I know. Anne!
Somebody calling me? Why, Shorty Ross. Isn't this terrible, Shorty?
Are you alone?
Very.
Anne, you know Toby McLean, don't you?
No, I don't. I've heard of him, though. Hello, Toby McLean.
How are you?
I could die. How are you?
This is little Anne Vaughn, Toby. If you read the Chronicle Press,
he
you know...
He doesn't, I can tell. I look at me. Oh, please.
Hey, we can't have this happening to you, Anne. Have to get you into one of these cars.
Well, laps have been offered, but I declined them. Only ride on strange men's laps in the subways.
Hey, look, Shorty, we can't all ride, walk three abreast on the highway here. Now, look, I'll take care of Anne, and you walk behind and try to flag us a ride, huh? Make yourself useful. Come on, Anne.
Who saw her first? Hey, Toby!
A born leader of men.
Of women. So you're Anne Vaughn. I know you. You do a movie column.
And you're sports.
I didn't know movie columnists were beautiful, though. What color's your hair?
It's brown.
Can't make out in this cloudburst.
Oh, it's cut awfully short, that's why.
What's a movie columnist doing at the fight? Dempsey's wife wasn't there, was she? Estelle Taylor?
You can't have a big fight without a trainload from Hollywood. I'm doing a personality story if I ever find a dry spot in a typewriter.
Well, haven't you got a room at the hotel?
No, couldn't get a reservation.
Well, why don't you come over to my room? Oh, now get me straight. I'll move down the hall and double up with Shorty. No trouble at all.
Well, if you're sure... How much farther is it into town, do you know?
Well, I'll ask.
No, don't. Let's just keep thinking it isn't far.
Poor kid, you're miserable, aren't you?
Well, I could use a hot bath.
And an open fire?
And a steak.
And a highball this high.
Yeah. That's one of the things I heard.
Heard?
About you, I mean.
What, that I like a good time now and then?
Oh, no, not exactly. Doesn't matter anyhow.
Tell me what they said. Please tell me.
I've forgotten, Toby.
Said I drank too much, was that it?
We're not going to fight, are we? I'm sorry I mentioned
it. But what did they say?
Oh, something about it being too bad.
Listen, Ann. The point is, you've got me all wrong. I'm no newspaper lush, honestly.
Well, it doesn't matter.
But I want it to matter, Ann. All of a sudden, I want it to matter to you.
Toby, you're crazy.
Hey, what are you two stopping for? Something wrong?
Oh, no, not a thing, Shorty. You just keep on watching for cars. I mean, Ann's got to get back to town. She's got a deadline to make.
Who is it?
It's young Mr. McLean, the eminent journalist.
Just a minute.
Hello.
Hello.
Brought you some coffee to spur you on.
Oh, Toby, you're wonderful. Thanks ever so much. Are you sure you don't mind my taking your room like this?
Mind? I'm honored. How's the story coming?
All right. You finished in a jiff.
Mind if I read what you've written?
Oh, it's not too hot, but read copy on it, will you, Toby? Please see if I spelled separate right. I never do.
Say, this is swell. Swell stuff, Ann. You know, it hurts a little to find out you can write so well. Better than I can.
That's an odd remark.
It's true, though. Other people's good stuff makes me feel kind of ashamed. It reminds me I'm not getting on well with my own literary affairs. True, though. Other people's...
For yourself, do you, son?
I'll tell you about me, Lenny. I'm not getting on well with my own little literary affairs. Someplace where there's music and dance.
Oh, sounds slightly wonderful.
We'll talk about you. Then later on, about me. Regular boy gets acquainted with new girl stuff. Toby McLean, age 27, newspaper guy from Manhattan, recently acquainted with a startlingly wonderful girl named Ann Vaughn.
A fascinating fella. And I've told you all about me.
Fascinating wench. What about love?
Do I believe in it? I do.
Well spoken of. Ever been in love?
Once.
What happened?
Nothing. The boat got to Cherbourg. How about you?
I think so.
What do you think so?
Think maybe I'm in love.
Something recent?
Very.
Oh.
Say something.
I said, oh.
Oh. Is it 2 hours, 2 days, 2 years?
Speaking of what and whom?
You and me.
Why?
You know what, Ann? When I read your copy, I was jealous, and I was proud at the same time. When I danced with you, I said to myself, Toby, you're lazy and you throw your money around. You go to too many speakeasies. Toby, still me talking to me, you ought to be married to a nice girl.
Interesting conversation.
You know any nice girls I go on? One, I answer back. Ann, will you marry me? Of course, I suppose I'd make the world's worst husband.
Oh, unquestionably.
Oh, now why would I? I'd make a darn good husband now I think of it. Because, look, I'm obviously remarkably good-natured. Not offensive or domineering. I wouldn't try to run your life for you. I believe in individuals, Ann. You're one, and I'd respect that. All I'd ask of you would be to live where I lived and smile at me sometimes and let me buy your little shoes and typewriter ribbons.
And put the ribbons on for me because I hate to sew.
Work together. Do magazine stuff. I start that novel I've always been planning to write. Eventually we'll go places, see things. Italy, Spain. And home would be a studio apartment full of books and firelight in the winter.
Go on, Toby. Tell me more. the whole ocean.
It's a feature of Atlantic City.
It's big, isn't it?
I just put the bags there, boy.
Yes, sir. Is there anything else I can do for you, sir?
Yeah, get yourself lost. Here.
Yes, sir. I hope you'll both be very happy.
We will, if you'll only give us a chance.
Yes, sir. I'm going right now, sir.
Now. Hello, Mrs. McLean.
Toby, is this really ours? This whole big suite of rooms? I thought we were going to try to save money.
Well, you know my theory. Economize on necessities, never on luxuries. Besides, we've only got 3 days for our honeymoon.
I know, but this is... Oh, darling, darling, don't let's ever go away from here, ever.
Well, now, baby, make up your mind.
I'm so happy, I hate to change anything. I didn't think there was perfect happiness in the world, did you?
I think you're gorgeous.
I like you, too. Oh, darling, we mustn't spoil it. Let our marriage get like others, I mean. We've got to... Toby, on matrimony, I have theories.
Have you, honey?
Yeah.
Dish out a few.
Well, for one thing, married people ought to go out sometimes with other people. Separately, I mean. They ought to have dates.
What for?
Variety. You know how people are. They want something different.
Well, people, yes.
But... Oh, we needn't think we're exceptions, Toby. No, it's an intelligent precautionary measure. See, if you can take out some other girl to dinner whenever you want to, with my full knowledge and consent, then of course you won't feel nearly so much like seeing her without my full knowledge. And the same thing applies to me with some other men.
Oh, it does? Now, somehow this theory leaves me quite cold. I'm an iceberg.
Toby, the important thing is that we always tell each other everything. I can take anything. Forgive anything but deception.
And people who knock on doors while a honeymoon is in progress. You again? I thought we had an understanding.
Telegram for Mrs. McLean.
Oh, well, thanks. Telegram for Mrs. Ann Vaughn McLean. Hey, how's that for a name? They got it right.
There's probably more congratulations from... Oh, no.
What is it?
The office. Wouldn't you know? Barbara Lamar at Ambassador, Atlantic City, reported married today to Polish Count. Please cover this, Williams.
A Polish Count? That's not news.
Yeah, but Barbara Lamar is. Oh, Lord. I've got to do it, of course.
It's a fine thing. On our honeymoon. Oh, confound it. They could have sent anybody else.
No, there wouldn't be time. And anyhow, it's my story. Don't look so tragic, darling. Your wife will be right back.
My wife is a newspaper girl.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing.
Tell me, Toby.
Nothing? Nothing at all, honey. I just wished for a second that you were Mrs. Toby McLean and nothing else, you see? But it's all right. End of brooding.
Are you sure?
Quite sure. Positive.
Well, after all, it'll only be for an hour. And we've got to get used to it. Both of us, Toby. The World Series starts next week, and you'll be leaving me for 5 whole days.
And? Why don't you come with me?
Oh, darling, you know I can't. It would cost a lot to take me all the way out to St. Louis and back, and we're awfully broke already. We've spent...
Nah, don't tell me.
All right, I... But the point is... Well, after all, I guess 5 days won't seem like long.
No. It really won't. Only a century. Sportsman's Park, St. Louis, October the, 1926.
Yeah, I got it.
Ah, came the Babe. All right, Joe, send this. Babe Ruth appeared from the dugout at 2:15, then went back in again. Go on, stall some more, see if I can.
Well, what's the hurry, Toby?
Oh, nothing, Shorty. Come on, come on, let's get this game over with.
Myra, the new maid.
Well, tell me, Myra, Where's Mrs. McLean?
She's out.
Out? But I thought she'd be here.
She had to go to dinner with the editor of some movie magazine. She left a note for you on the table.
Oh. Darling, I am so sorry, but you'll forgive me when you hear Austin Hackett, editor of Picturesque, wants me to do a series of articles, $200 apiece. Why, that's great. Why, that's simply great for Ann, but why do they have to talk it over tonight?
Well, she said he's leaving for Hollywood in the morning. She was very disappointed, Mr. McLean. She couldn't be here to meet you. You're newlyweds, aren't you?
That's right. Of course, she had to go, a thing as important as that. Who wouldn't? She'll make $3,000 if she gets the assignment.
Mm-hmm. She can buy herself a fine limousine for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Marla. And on my salary, I can add a gadget for the radiator cap.
Maybe that's her now.
Hello there.
Hello yourself, darling.
Oh, Ann, baby.
Hi. Toby, this is Mr. Hackett. I brought him up especially to meet you. My husband, Mr. Hackett.
Mr. Vaughn, how'd you do?
Oh, McLean, Mr. Hackett. Vaughn is only my name. I forgot you didn't know.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, McLean.
It's all right.
Well, let me take a look at you. Toby, how are you? How was the World Series?
It was the World Series.
You're a sporting writer, Mr. McLean.
Yeah, but my mother thinks I work for the street cleaning department.
I hope to be back in time to meet you, Toby, but after dinner we had to call on Raymond Navarro.
Who's Raymond Navarro?
Well, darling, I think if you'll rack your brain, he's going to be the first of the impressions of movie stars I'm writing for Mr. Hackett.
Do you do any magazine work yourself, Mr. McLean?
Toby's going to do some fiction this winter.
Indeed?
No, probably not.
I trust I may be forgiven for taking Mrs. McLean off this evening. Business is business, you know.
Yes, of course. Ladies must live.
Yeah. Well, I guess I better be running along now. Remember, Ann, deadline the 20th of the month. You might send the articles airmail if you're pressed for time.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Hackett. Good night.
Good night.
Toby? You were perfectly horrid. Why?
I don't know that I was.
Well, you were. You were rude and sarcastic. Oh, honey, how could you when you know what it meant to me to... Well, what'll he think?
I don't care what he thinks.
Well, I do. I can't afford to offend a man who's going to pay me all that money.
Well, I can't. He isn't paying it to me.
But you're my husband.
Yeah, so I heard. Mr. Vaughn.
Oh, darling, that's a common mistake nowadays with working women. Toby, this job is the nicest thing professionally that's ever happened to me, aren't you? Can't you be glad for me at all?
Of course I'm glad. That's not it.
Oh, what is then?
Well, what was the point of bringing that fellow Hackett up here? What was he for? To chaperone our reunion?
I wanted him to meet you, optimist that I was. I thought I'd be proud of you.
And you were ashamed,
huh? I most certainly was. I think we've reached the point where we better not see any more now. Either of us. Good night.
Ann, wait.
Toby. Oh, Toby.
Oh, honey, this is terrible when I love you so much.
Then why?
Oh, I guess I was jealous. I guess that's the answer. Masculine ego. I'm doing a slow burn because you're going to make more money than I can.
Oh, my darling, listen. Do you think for one minute that no matter how hard I try, I can ever achieve the success that you could?
Of course I do.
Well, then you're crazy. I have just one edge on you, Guy. I write, you talk about it.
Yeah, I guess I talk a great story. At a bar with a drink and a good listener, I'm an author.
But it doesn't have to be that way.
And as usual, you're right. It's a funny thing, though. I was just thinking about an idea for a story. Joe Peterson told it on the train coming home from St. Louis. About a girl in New Orleans, a cabaret dancer. She'd make a wonderful character, flaming you.
Then why don't you write it, Toby?
It falls into place in my mind.
When?
What do you mean, when?
When are you going to begin?
Oh, why, tomorrow. All right. Tomorrow morning. You see if I don't. Sad November days are here, the saddest days of all the year, especially the first of the month.
I believe you. Darling, these bills are terrible. What are we going to do about them?
I'll tell you what. We'll rule the backs of them and use them for bridge scores.
We might try paying them.
Using what for money?
Oh, there's that $1,500 in my savings account. Plus the first $200 from Mr. Hackett.
None of that. If anyone takes care of the bills around here, it's going to be the man of the house.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? You can't just overlook these bills.
Well, I won't. I won't overlook them indefinitely. Now, believe in me, will you, baby? Everything's going to be all right.
I do, Toby. Only...
No only. Well, I see by the papers that President Coolidge has joined another Indian tribe.
Oh. All right. I've got to run for the office now. I should be back around 6. What are you going to do today?
I don't know. Whittle, maybe.
Well, try not to cut yourself, then. Bye now.
So long, Sugar.
Okay to clear the breakfast table now, Mr. McLean. What do you want me to do with these papers?
The bills? Oh, throw them away.
Yes.
No, give them here. Myra, what would you do if you needed, let's see, roughly $921.63?
I just wouldn't know.
Well, they all laughed when he sat down at the typewriter. Cabaret Lady by Toby McLean. Well, that reads nicely, McLean. Now, if you can only keep the rest of it up to that high standard. She was born bad.
Mr. McLean, hadn't I better fix you a sandwich or something? You haven't stuff to eat all day.
Huh? Oh, no. No, I'm almost done now. And the spotlight, like a golden cage, closed down around it. Hey, how's that for a closing line? 21 pages. It's darn good, too. I bet I can even sell this to Symposium.
All through now?
Mm-hmm. Oh, golly, I'm tired. What time is it?
Almost 6. She should be home any minute now.
Well, let her come. It's finished now. And, oh, Myra, don't say anything to her about this. I'd rather keep it a secret till I find out if it sells. Now, in the matter of that sandwich you mentioned... Hi, Ann.
Hi, darling. How was the whittling? Oh, Toby, you've been working. On the fiction story?
Huh? Oh, no. Just getting some background stuff ready for Saturday's football game. So you won't have to wait so long for me after the game. I thought up a swell lead to use if Princeton wins, so you better pray for Princeton, honey.
Oh.
What'd you say?
I said, oh. Toby! Here I am, darling.
Hello. Get tired of waiting for me?
No, I've had company. This is Bill Salisbury, Toby, and the one in the raccoon coat is Red Kohler, my husband, Toby McLean.
Awfully glad to meet you, Mr. McLean. Say, I read your stuff. Enjoy it a lot.
You've got a nice wife.
Thanks. Glad you read my stuff. Glad you like my wife.
What did you think of the game? Isn't it great, Princeton won?
Oh, me, it's just work. You fellas both Princeton men?
They had seats right next to mine in the grandstand, Toby.
And it seemed a shame for such a pretty girl to be all alone, so we leaped, or is it leapt, to the rescue. Yes, leapt. My progress was distinctly a leaping.
Anyhow, they took good care of me, Toby, and they offered to drive us back to New York in their car.
Princeton's improving.
Yeah, as soon as I round up my date. Oh, Pop! Pop! Come here. Want you to meet somebody.
Puff Randolph, this is Toby McLean.
Glad to meet you, Puff.
Why, he's beautiful. Oh, Red, you can buy me him.
Too late. He's already bought, signed for, sealed, and delivered. In case you don't know it, Puff, Ann Vaughn is Mrs. McLean.
Oh, really? How amusing.
Well, come on. Let's go. Ann, you ride in the rumble seat with me, and I'll teach you the Princeton Jungle Song. Mr. McLean, you can sit up front with Red and Pop.
Well, I,
Oh, come on, Toby. If you don't, I'll be bored to tears with Red. Tell me about being in these people. Is it fun at all?
Sometimes, Pop. I'd rather hear more about you. Where do you live?
New York. I go to Miss Fleming's school.
Well, where do you spend the rest of your time?
Oh, summers in Europe. I prefer Europe to the States. The men are so much more attractive, don't you think?
Than Americans?
Hmm.
Sure, I suppose you're right.
At least, that's what I always thought, till now.
Ooh, what a line.
You keep out of this, Red. You just drive.
Go on. You were saying?
I'm talking an awful lot.
Not too much for me. But look, hadn't you better turn some of it the other way? I think the motorman is waxing peevish. Don't you think you ought to smile at Red or something?
She never bothers to be polite.
Red, you can go jump up and down. I'm fed up with college boys. They're all so young.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
Yeah? And now that we have that settled, how old are you?
Well, how old do you think I am then?
Oh, 18, maybe.
Well, it's a question of experience, isn't it? Not how long one has lived, but how much.
You've lived a lot, haven't you, Pop?
Quite. Cigarette, please.
Trouble with football games with the traffic jams afterwards. Do you realize it took us nearly half an hour to get on this ferry?
Well, it's only 10 minutes across to Manhattan.
And another traffic jam.
You two stop complaining. Only thing to complain about is how stuffy it is sitting in this car. Let me out of here. Move, Red. Move.
Stop pushing me. Get out the other side.
What's the matter? Don't you feel well, child?
Don't call me child. Who do you think you are? Arthur Brisbane.
Oh, hello.
I need air. I want to go upstairs, not stay down here with the cars.
Toby, why don't you oblige the lady? She needs an escort.
Thanks.
Don't mention it.
Oh, Red's all right, I suppose, but he doesn't appeal to me. Do we have to talk about him? Look, the Hudson River, the lights. Over there, tall buildings, glamour. Here at the rail, girl and a fella.
A girl who's a brat and a fella who's got a wife on the deck below.
Don't be tiresome, darling.
The perfect emancipated post-war flapper, huh?
I usually get my way, if that's what you mean. I wonder when I shall see you again.
Well, that'd be kind of hard to predict. I'm hardly in your circle of flaming youth.
Manhattan's an easy town to get around in. I'm always meeting people.
Yeah, sure.
Of course, you might call me up. It's in the phone book, will you?
Well, I what?
Call me up.
Probably not, no.
You're so horribly married, aren't you?
It's not that so much. The point is, I'm so much in love with my wife.
Lots of people aren't. With their wives, I mean.
Lots of people aren't married to Anne.
How long have you been married?
2 months.
Oh, only 2 months, really? I would get a break like that. Well, nevertheless, I'll probably call you. I'll try not to, but I probably will.
Now, don't put yourself to a lot of trouble, little girl.
I do those dumb things when I'm crazy about somebody. You might as well know I'm crazy about you.
From Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you're listening to Robert Mitchum in Young Man of Manhattan. A version for listening by Van Woodward of the Catherine Brush novel. Our story will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to Same Time, Same Station. The best.
From Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Robert Mitchum stars in Fletcher Markle's production of Young Man of Manhattan.
sports desk, Hastings. Who? I'll see.
McLean. Hey, Toby. Call for you.
Who is it?
Same dame, that Miss Randolph again.
Uh-oh. Tell her I just stepped out. Tell her I've gone home to my bride. Will you tell her anything, Boo?
Sorry, he's not here. Yes, I'll give him your message. All of them.
That one is the portrait of the modern gilded child. If there's anything that little flapper doesn't know about life at the ripe old age of 18, then I'm one-eyed Connolly.
Sounds like a character study.
He would make a story. I'll write it one of these days. You know, a satirical thing. It might be a knockout. Yeah. In fact, I may even start it tonight.
Darling, guess who just called? Bill Salisbury.
The handsome Princeton lad?
Camden, wouldn't we dine with him and go to the scandals? And I said we'd love to.
That's fine, but what's this word we?
He said both of us.
Yeah, but you know what he hoped. And if I tag along like a dowager mama in pants, I'll be bored stiff and so will he.
Oh, yes, but dear, he's...
No. Remember what you said on our honeymoon about the wisdom of dating other people occasionally? All right, then you go on out with Bill. It'll make you appreciate me more.
Well, what will you do with your evening? I know, why don't you get a date of your own? How about Puff Randolph? I wouldn't mind.
No, not if it isn't going to bother you any more than that. Besides, I feel like staying home and doing some work.
I'm Cabaret Lady? I thought you were stuck.
Yeah, but I had a new idea. It came to me today.
Good. Toby, you know what I think I'll do?
What?
Speaking of Puff, I think I'll do a magazine story on her. Because she's really priceless copy, ready-made. She's perfect. All I'd have to do would be to write her as she is. The rest of the story would come. Don't you see, her character is the whole thing.
Yeah, I see.
Oh, I think it could be great, don't you? Darling, tell me you do.
Sure. You bet, sugar. It'll be a knockout. What are you going to call it?
Well, I hadn't thought yet.
Why not call it Portrait of a Gilded Child, or something like that.
Say, not bad. I'll use it. Thanks.
You're welcome.
What's the matter, darling?
Oh, nothing, I guess. I just don't feel much like working tonight, after all.
Oh. Well, then why don't you call Puff? Do it now, while I'm getting dressed.
Hello, Puff. Toby McLean, how are you?
I'm fainting. Is it really you? Well, how are you?
Feeling no pain. Look, Anne's going places tonight with a flaming youth. None other than Bill Salisbury, in fact. I'm at large. I thought maybe you'd have dinner with me.
Will I? I will. When? Where?
Well, let's see. I'll dress and be up there in, say, an hour.
If you come here, you'll have to meet Mother, and that's a nuisance. No, I better come there.
Come here? In my day, ladies didn't call for their escort.
But this is my day, Brisbane. I'll be right down.
Did you kiss her, Toby? Well, say something, can't you? Don't you remember what you did last night?
Well, my head isn't exactly clear.
Take a sizz powder. Take an aspirin. For pity's sake, take something.
Oh, I'm okay.
But you kissed her?
Yes. I'm afraid I did. A couple of times.
When exactly?
Well, when we were in that party at some fellow's apartment and in some taxi cab or other. And, once while we were at some Blind Pig.
In other words, every chance you got.
But, darling, you've got to understand it didn't mean anything, Anne.
Don't, Toby. Leave me alone. I'll be all right in a minute.
It wouldn't have happened if I hadn't had a little too much. Now, honey, if you'll only forgive me.
I know, Toby. You were just tight. No, the one I can't forgive is Puff. Coming here for you in the first place. Using my powder pad for ruse. And even making you forget to come home.
But, Anne, you can't be jealous of that little... I tell you, she doesn't mean a thing to me.
Oh, I know. I sound inconsistent. I wanted you to go. Honestly, Toby, I'm not jealous just on general principles. But from now on, I can't be generous at all with Puff Randolph because I seem to think I'm so much nicer, it's not even funny. And for her to think she's putting something over on me.
Oh, now don't be silly, darling. Puff doesn't think that.
Oh, you don't know women, dear. Especially young ones who think they're Greta Garbo or something. You see, Puff wouldn't dream that you'd tell me you kissed her. She thinks it's a thrilling secret between herself and my husband. Something that you and she got away with when I wasn't looking. And that really burns me up.
But, Anne, I tell you...
No, don't talk, Toby. Not anymore. Just come here. Sit beside me.
Oh, honey. This guy you married, he isn't too bright, maybe, but he does love you tremendously.
You do, don't you, darling? And you won't see Puff anymore at all. Just to please me. Because I'm silly.
You're not. And I wouldn't have wanted to anyway. Ask me something harder. That's too easy.
No. No, darling, that's all I ask.
Laps and the Iron Man still leading.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave you with him, Shorty. I'm going to go home and get some sleep.
Ta-ta, Toby. See you tomorrow.
You there, Toby. Handsome Mr. McLean.
Puff. Well, are you devoted to six-day bike races?
Not particularly, darling. I'm following your career. I've been reading the sports section.
You're here alone?
Oh, I've got an escort. He's around.
You allow the male population to take your places.
And why not? Oh, here he is. Mr. Wintrigger, Mr. McLean.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Wendy, dear, run ahead like an angel and give the doorman something to get us a taxi. I want to talk to Toby.
Oh, okay, sure.
Toby, what time did you get home that morning? Or did you bother?
It was a tired 5 GM.
Was Anne terribly angry?
Well, Anne takes things in her stride.
A remarkable girl, Anne.
Yeah, I think so.
Not a bit jealous?
Not a bit.
Well, fine. Dandy. Charming. So there's no reason why you can't come along with Winty and me for a sandwich somewhere.
Look, I gotta get home.
Oh, it's so late, Anne's sure to be asleep. And besides, she isn't jealous.
I ought to clip you one, Puff.
But you will have a sandwich.
No, I gotta go.
Prove she isn't jealous. Prove you aren't afraid.
Myra, come here a minute. What is this, may I ask?
That's toast.
Oh, now don't kid me, Myra. It's a souvenir of the Chicago fire. Now kindly make me toast, will you, that I can eat.
Some people like it well done.
My, but you're in an evil mood this morning. What did you do last night to bring this on?
Huh? Well, nothing, just went with the gang to Andriani's. But from the moment I got out of bed this morning... Now, look, the printers even left the byline off my story this morning.
Life is hard some days. Well, what are you doing now, going through all those drawers?
I'm looking for the bills. Where are they?
Well, why all this sudden, surprising interest in the bills?
I know, it isn't like me. I know all that, but... Why aren't they in this desk?
All right. You must know they're paid. I paid them with my own money.
All of them? The furniture, my overcoat, your wedding ring? Why?
Well, somebody had to pay them.
Oh, I see. And you being the family breadwinner.
Oh, dear, I was afraid of this. Now, listen to me, Toby.
Listen nothing. You listen to me.
No, did you or didn't you have the money to pay those bills?
Now, that's neither here...
Don't hedge. Just answer me. You not only didn't have it, but you weren't lifting a finger to get it. And that being the case, if I were you, I'd keep very quiet and be thankful that...
Thankful? Oh, thankful, huh? I shouldn't bite the hand that's feeding me, is that it? I ought to fawn on you a little, I suppose. And what in the name of Mike do you think I am, a broken-down gigolo?
Toby! Oh, I'm sorry, this is...
And another thing, what makes you so sure I haven't lifted a finger, as you call it? How do you know I...
Don't be fantastic. I have yet to see you sit down at the typewriter on your own time.
You don't think much of me, do you?
Well, somebody has to pay our debts.
All right, big career woman, pay the bills. Believe what you like. No use trying to tell you anything. Ever.
Where are you going?
Going out.
Cabaret lady? Yes, we liked your story, Mr. McLean.
You really like it?
Very much. In fact, Symposium will pay you $500 for the first serial rights.
Hey, that's great.
The only reason we've delayed so long, well, the fact is, we mislaid your manuscript.
You what?
Can't find it anywhere. I'm most distressed about it. But fortunately, there's no great harm done if you'll just bring us your other copy.
Uh-oh.
You made a carbon copy, of course.
No. That was the only one. The original seemed pretty clear, so I just sent it in.
Oh, my goodness, you didn't. I mean...
Careless of me. Typical newspaper man's trick. No, it's my fault, not yours. You're not supposed to be responsible for unsolicited manuscripts.
But I could bawl. I could. I'll scour the place again, Mr. McLean. The manuscript must be around somewhere. Maybe it'll turn up soon.
Did you ever hear of such a tough break, baby?
Never. Oh, I think it's a crying shame, Toby. They should pay you the $500 anyhow. I'd sue the darned old magazine.
No, the more I think about it, the more I think it's all to the merry. Two things I've been needing, a pat on the back and a kick in the pants. I got both of them at once. Now I'm all set. Now I can get busy.
Yeah, imagine having written a story good enough for Symposium to want to buy. And if you did it once, darling, you can do it again.
Sure, sure. Why not? Sure. I'll rewrite Cabaret Lady and then two more stories to pay you back. And then maybe I'll get around to that novel.
Oh, darn it. Hello? Oh, Chris, how are you? I haven't seen you for an age. Oh, did you? Where? Oh. Oh, yes. Toby, it's Chris Hanley. He wants to talk to you.
Okay. Sir? Oh, sure. Sure. Have a good time. Oh, no, don't mention it, Chris. Chris wants me to cover him on his bike race story tonight. He's got a heavy date with a lightweight.
Oh? Did Chris mention having seen me?
No. Why?
Oh, he says he did. I didn't see him.
How come?
I don't know. I guess I just wasn't there.
You weren't where? I don't get you.
Chris pulled a boner, I'm afraid. He didn't mean to. He doesn't know that he did because I pretended. I pretended I was the girl in the taxi with you leaving the curb in front of the Jungle Club at 3:00 this morning.
Oh, that. Oh, you know who that was? There was another fellow in the taxi, too, a kid who was manager for the track team up at Columbia. And the girl was his girl. Forget her name, Lawson, Lawton, something like
that. Or Randolph. Mightn't it have been that?
Oh, you mean Puff Randolph? Oh, no. No, don't worry, it wasn't she. What made you think it was Puff?
I don't think. I know it was. I know when you're lying. At least I know this time it's too pat. You lie too well.
But, Anne, I...
No, maybe not so well. You seem to have forgotten you said you were at Andreana's with the bike race crowd. Now, it's the Jungle Club, the manager of the track team from Columbia, and his girl...
I can explain
that.
Oh,
doubtless!
I'm sorry. You're right. I was lying, or trying to. It was Puff Randolph, but it was perfectly innocent. She had a date of her own, and I only went along to keep her from guessing...
Never mind, I don't want to hear any more. Two versions out of whole cloth are plenty.
Anne!
No matter what you said now, I wouldn't believe you. I'll never believe anything you ever tell me again.
Anne, if you'll listen
to me... Don't let go! You let go of me!
Devil, you're going to listen whether you like it or not. You're going to hear what I've got to say.
Very well, then. Only be as quick as possible, will you? I seem to be very anxious for you to get through and get out of my apartment.
Oh.
After all, it is my apartment, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. You paid for it.
Then how many times must I tell you that I want you to leave?
Another time won't be necessary.
You can have it back when I've gone to Hollywood. Paper's been wanting me to go out there. There's no reason why I shouldn't anymore.
Nope. None whatever.
Toby.
What do you want?
Wake up, you big souse. You got to get off that couch. My sainted aunt is coming here to visit me.
Where's Ann?
Gone to California 2 days ago.
So she did go, huh? After all.
Yeah, and you got to go, too, to the office at least. If you don't want to get yourself fired.
Where's Toby? Anyone see McLean around here today?
Nope. Well, what'll we do? Page Luigi's again?
Oh, what'd be the use, Chris? Oh, well, do we flip a coin to see who covers his story?
Oh, no. My turn, I guess, Bill. You've done it the last 2 times.
Happy New Year.
Well, at last. I've been trying to get you for absolute weeks. Where have you been, Toby?
Oh, he's been away. I'm Shorty Ross. Toby's out of town.
Oh. Are you sure? I mean, I happen to know.
You do? Oh, you must be someone he likes.
Well, naturally. What did you think I was?
Well, you see, there's this silly little schoolgirl who's been chasing Toby bow-legged. And when you first called up, I thought you were her. But as long as your name isn't Puff Randolph, Miss Brown. Oh, Miss Brown, of course. I've heard a lot about you. But as I say, I thought you were this little mosquito who has such a terrible crush on him. It's funny.
I didn't think Toby was the sort of person who goes around bragging about his affairs.
Oh, it isn't an affair. It comes under the heading of a nuisance. Sort of a standing joke among his friends.
He talks about it. Oh, I think he's low. I mean, he has no business to be telling...
Oh, she's the one who makes no secret about it. She phones his office so often all the boys call her If At. You know, if at first you don't succeed, try again. They tell him If At call at 3 o'clock and again at... I beg your pardon? Did I hear you hang up on me, Miss Brown? Eureka, I did it. Hey, Toby. Toby, wake up. You see before you the Ross Exterminator Company.
Huh? What is it, Shorty?
I just exterminated the pest for you, Puff Randolph. And now if you'll only do something about the problem of Ann. Just a letter, Toby. That's all it would take. You can get your life organized again.
Oh, lay off, will you, Shorty? I haven't even got the money I owe her. It wouldn't do any good. You just don't understand.
Eunice, they're such fools. The whole thing's so dumb. Look, you're a friend of Ann's. Why don't you ride her and try to patch up this quarrel?
Shorty, their trouble isn't that quarrel. It's Toby.
Huh? What do you mean by that, Eunice?
Oh, I like him too, but don't you see? He's irresponsible, he's lazy, and everything Ann's husband oughtn't to be. But only be another quarrel just as long as Toby is Toby.
Well, maybe. Say, what about this guy Ann keeps mentioning in her column? Dwight Knowles, the novelist.
Nothing, except that Ann met him on the train going west.
She seems to be seeing a lot of him out in Hollywood, too.
Well, after all, he's the fair-haired writer in Hollywood now. That makes him good copy for a column.
Yeah, but does he have to keep in tossing in remarks like, as Dwight said to me last evening after dinner, and Knowles looks like the handsome hero of one of his own novels. Who gives a hoot what a novelist looks like? What's Ann trying to do, drive Toby crazy?
Maybe she's really getting interested in Dwight.
But she doesn't care at all what happens to Toby. He's going all to pieces. Well, we'll be going south to cover spring training soon. Maybe when he gets down under that Florida sun, he'll be able to straighten himself out. Florida would get you back in the groove. What you doing anyway?
Nothing.
Come on, let Shorty see. Synopsis for Playboy, a novel that will never be written by Toby McLean. Hey, it's bad luck to start off that way.
What's the difference? I'll never write it anyway.
You need cheering up. Come on, the gang is throwing a party across the hall, and there's a couple of cabaret dancers here from Tampa. The Sherman sisters, they're so dumb, it's wonderful.
Oh, thanks, Shorty. Fun is fun.
Oh, but you gotta come. I told them we were here with the Yankees, and now they insist on meeting Babe Ruth. So you're it. Come on, they'll hand you a lab.
Hey, but Shorty, I can't...
Sounds like my phone ringing. Maybe I better go back.
Maloney, you're just imagining things. Here he is, girls, the great Bambino. Toby, I mean, Babe, meet the Sherman sisters, Vera and Vivian.
Oh! Hi, you Babe Ruth. Do you play on the same team with Shorty here?
Yeah, I play fullback. Shorty's the bat boy.
Oh, you're kidding. Shorty, are you a bat boy?
No, just playful. Why?
Well, he said that you were a bat boy.
Come on, this party's getting dead. Let's liven it up, girls. Go into your dance.
Oh, no. Not here. But we will sing one of our songs for you, won't we, Vera? All right, honey, you start it off.
Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now.
Yes, it's just the management to complain about the noise. Don't answer it, anybody.
Somebody kill that ball.
By the way.
Oh, never mind, I'll do it. Hello?
Yes,
sir. Yeah?
That's my baby.
No, hey, McLean, it's for you. They say New York's been trying to get you.
New York? Hey, wait a minute. Pipe down, everybody. It's New York. The office probably wants to tell me I'm fired or something. Hello? Put them on, operator.
Hey, cut it out, Toby. Talk like that and you will get fired.
Hello? Who? Eunice? Yes, I can hear you, Eunice. Have you seen Ann? Is she back in New York?
Shh, keep quiet, can't you?
Well, excuse me for living.
She what? Now, wait a minute, I didn't get that. But what's the matter, Eunice? Poison?
Uh-oh. Maybe we better get out of here.
But how? How bad is it?
Out in the hall, all of you. Get out. Come on, now. Get out.
Now, don't lie to me, Eunice. I've got to know.
Well, who is it? His wife?
Maybe poison liquor, huh?
No, it couldn't be. Ann doesn't drink.
Well, it only takes a little. You suppose she's dead?
Keep still for the love of mud.
Here comes Shorty. Maybe he can tell us.
Hey, Chris, we need some money for train fare. All you got. Toby's got to go north tonight.
Sure, Shorty. But what's happened to Ann?
Oh, it's awful. She had a cold sea when she got back to New York, and she thought maybe she ought to take something for it. Now, there was a bottle in the apartment that Toby picked up at some speakeasy and then forgot to pack when we started down here. Anyway, they think it's methyl alcohol. Her eyesight's affected.
She's blind? Not permanent.
They don't know. They hope not. They told Toby so, anyhow.
Yeah? How is he, Shorty?
How would he be?
Lord, and now arriving at gate 26.
Toby, here we are.
Oh, Eunice.
We came down to meet you, Bill Hastings and I. It's all right. Anne's out of danger now.
But she's still... She can't see any better?
Well, that'll take time, but the doctor's very hopeful, Toby.
Yeah, the thing is, they analyze the stuff, Toby, and it's only methyl alcohol.
Yeah.
Now, if it'd been wood alcohol...
You know, I bought that stuff. I meant to take it to Florida with me.
Yeah, you were lucky.
Lucky? You mean I might have gone blind and I didn't? Anne did instead of me? Yeah, if you call that lucky.
Toby, you're awfully sweet to come all the way up here.
You're looking fine, Anne.
Oh, please don't, Toby. I don't want anybody to look at me like this.
There's nothing wrong with the way you look. The doctor says he'll have you seeing again soon, maybe in only a month. The thing to do is to think of it as a temporary nuisance.
I know. I'm glad I write. Supposing I were an artist or a sculptor. And I wouldn't be able to work at all.
Work? Why worry about that? The Chronicle isn't going to give your job away. Or is it? Darling, listen. You're not worrying about paying the bills for this, are you? Because you mustn't. I have money, for once. I won $5,000 on a horse in Florida.
Oh.
Besides, you're going home from the hospital tomorrow afternoon. The doctor says you'll convalesce just as fast at home, and he thinks maybe you'll be happier in your apartment.
Toby, I've been so ashamed for saying what I did that day about my apartment. It was inexcusable.
Now, that's long ago. We'll get Eunice or Wink Kramer to move in and take care of you, and I'll get me a room at some hotel.
Oh. Well, you'll probably feel freer there.
Yep. So that takes care of that. There's a nice fat letter here for you from Anne. Do you want me to read it to you? From California. Los Angeles postmark, and neat little thin sort of mincing handwriting.
Oh, that's... I think I know. Toby, somebody is in love with me. Does it make you angry?
Depends on who the somebody is and how you feel about it. Dwight Knoll. That's who it is, isn't it? Dwight Knoll?
The writer.
I knew all the time. Why, that's all right.
You don't mind?
People will always be falling for your shoes over Derby. I can't mind that. You haven't told me yet how you feel about him.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm not sure. I like him. I suppose I could be in love with him if I tried. He's very good looking and glamorous. Oh, Toby, say something. How can I go on talking when I can't see you and you won't even speak?
I'm sorry. I was just thinking it over. Well, what does he want you to do? Divorce me and marry him?
That's what he wanted in California. Whether he still will when he hears what happened to
him. Of course he will. Anne, listen. I'm not going to ask you what you want to do. I don't think you know now, and this isn't any time for you to be trying to decide. Wait till you're all well again, and Knowles comes back to New York to see you, and it'll be whatever you want. If you decide you're in love with him, want a divorce.
You would give me one. You wouldn't mind?
I want you to be happy, is all. Yeah, I want a corner room where my typewriter won't disturb the neighbors. I'm going to be working a lot at night.
Yes, Mr. McLean. Do you want to leave a call to wake you in the morning?
No. Well, yes. Have them ring me every morning at 6, so I'll know when to go to bed. Synopsis for Playboy, a novel that will never be written by Toby McLean. Maybe that is bad luck. There. Well, McLean, a chapter a day for the doctor's pay. Let's see if you can do it.
Yes, Mr. McLean, we like the rewrite on Cabaret Lady even better than the original. We'll send you a check for $500. And let's see some more stories.
Good morning, 6 o'clock, Mr. McLean.
Oh, never mind the time. Just tell me what day it is.
No, the sophomore and the siren is too short and too collegiate for us. But have you thought there might be a marvelous movie in it? You need an agent, someone like Arnold Mercer. He can sell it for you if anyone can.
McLean, you can write. Let me have part one of the novel when you've got it revised, and I'll find out what the publishers think.
Toby, another month like this and you'll kill yourself. Come on, just take one night off.
Lay off, will you, Shorty? I know what I have to do. I need money, lots of it. So just go away, will you, please? Stop interrupting my work.
Hello, Toby. Arnold Mercer. Well, I've read part one of your novel.
You have? Well, now, look, if it's no good, Arnold, just say so. Don't let me kid myself if it hasn't got a chance.
Don't worry. I thought you wouldn't believe me when I said what a book it is. So I've got you an option on it from Christopher and Willis, hottest publishers in the business.
They took it? Hey, that's great news. That's simply great.
I thought you'd like it.
Lord, if this isn't a day. Because you know what else happened? I just talked to the doctor. He tells me just an hour ago, Anne finally stole the red card from the black one.
Eunice called, said to drag you over. They're throwing a party here at Anne's apartment to celebrate her recovery.
Just the gang, or will anybody else be around?
Meaning who?
Well, Dwight knows. He's in town, you know.
You expect him here at Anne's?
He's still romancing her. I read it in one of the columns. I've been staying away. Thought maybe it'd be fairer to Anne.
To give Knowles a clear field? What are you trying to do, hand it to him on a silver platter? You should have been in there fighting, Toby.
Yeah. Well, it's probably too late now. Well, here we are.
Open the door and I'll announce us.
Ta-da!
Introducing Shorty Ross and Fred. Well, isn't anybody going to invite people in?
Yes, advance and enter, Fred.
You mean I'm not wanted? Is hospitality dead? Where's the mat with welcome on it? Eye view with alarm.
Come in, Shorty, do. Hello, Toby.
Hello, Anne. How are you?
Hey, Toby, you're no friend. You're practically a stranger. Where have you been keeping yourself this last month?
Well, I've been sort of busy, Bill.
Well, come on over to the piano. Join the party.
In a minute. I want to examine the patient here first. How have you been, Anne? I haven't seen you for 3 or 4 days.
I know that.
Of course, you knew why I was staying away.
No. Might have been any one of several reasons.
Might have been nothing of the kind. Knowles got in on Tuesday, didn't he? You knew that was why.
But this is Saturday. You didn't even telephone. Which seemed to prove conclusively that you weren't interested at all in whether or not his coming back meant anything to him.
I wasn't interested. Now, look here. I've been as near off my noodle as a sane man can get. I thought you had to have time to make up your mind.
I mean, I didn't have to have all that time.
Then you've decided.
Sort of. I've decided about Dwight. I haven't quite decided about you yet.
You turned him down. You sent him away. Well, then why?
I can't tell you in front of all these people.
Well, where? Come on, to the kitchen, then. Now, tell me what you mean. You don't want either of us, is that it?
I can see you now, Toby. I couldn't before.
Well, answer me.
Well, you tell me something. Oh, Goofy, tell me you're still in love with me. I know it now, but I've been thinking you weren't for such ages.
You've been
I thought you were sorry for me because I was blind. I couldn't see you. How could I tell when we'd been separated for so long? So I tried to use Dwight to goad you into admitting that you liked me, and you didn't seem one bit put out by it.
Oh, you were trying feminine wiles on me, huh?
Well,
honey, we've been a couple of half-wits.
Well, haven't we, though?
Well, only thing to do is begin again.
What?
At the beginning. It's the night of the Dempsey-Tunney fight. It's raining. You're wet. I'm wet. I say, will you marry me, darling?
And I say, yes, darling.
And I say, of course, I suppose I'll make the world's worst husband.
And I say, oh, unquestionably.
Wait a minute. Now, why would I? The more I think about it, the more I think I'd make a darn good husband. Because look.
Oh, this is fun.
Because look. I don't drink. Darling, I've got that licked now. Point number two, I can now support you in the luxury to which you've accustomed me. This last month, I've been working. And I've hit it, finally. I've sold not one, but 3 stories.
Darling, that's wonderful.
Well, you know the freelance market this month, the feast, next month, the famine.
Feast or famine, the thing that counts is that you've gone to work.
I've been able to write and sell and pay our debts.
Oh, Toby, I'm so pleased. Pleased and proud.
That isn't all.
There's more. I can't stand it.
Since you're so fond of running around to all the fancy restaurants with novelists. What was his name now? I can't seem to remember. Oh. Dwight something or other. Well, ma'am, I've decided to become a novelist myself.
Oh, now you're fooling.
No, I'm not. Matter of fact, I've got 1/3 of Playboy done, and the publishers like it so well, they've given me a nice, fat advance.
They've accepted your novel? Oh, darling, I always knew I did. I knew you could do it.
Oh, no. I couldn't write a novel. Ever. But Anne Vaughan's husband could. In fact, if you'll just stick with him, darling, someday he... He might turn out to be quite a fellow.
From Studio One at CBS, you have just heard Robert Mitchum in Fletcher Markle's production of Young Man of Manhattan by Catherine Brush. Another full-hour dramatic entertainment from radio's most celebrated playhouse. Tonight's script was especially prepared for this series by Van Woodward. The original musical score was composed by Charles Freed and conducted by Alexander Semler. And now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer present the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground,
Toby McLean
was played, of course, by Mr. Mitchum, adding another impressive performance to his current film, Crossfire, and the forthcoming RKO thriller, Out of the Past.
Anne Vaughn McLean
was played by Mercedes McCambridge.
Puff Randolph
was Anne Burr.
Geordie Ross
was Joe DeSantis.
Eunice
was played by Elspeth Eric. I don't seem to have anything more to say here, so let's call this the end of the recording. This is CBS, Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, that's...